Good evening. It's Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. And in this particular slot, in this particular moment of the process, a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock occurs. And it's been occurring now for almost 10 years. And at the moment, the particular configuration of this adventure consists of a number of us working our way through Secret Talks Volume Number 5, which is called Work of Groups. And we've made it, how far are we along, Marvette, now?
Over 17 weeks.
We've made it for 17 weeks, and we've made it to Chapter 37, which is unusual in itself, because we're very slow readers. We're medial readers in this particular course, which is fine for me. So we're logged in over there?
Yep.
You just want to just keep a, like a just side eye on it every once in a while? Thank you. Okay. So, Pat, what we need to do, so the name of the book is called Work of Groups, and it's not a textbook on the nature of groups, but it is an example of EJ working with a particular group at a particular point in time and how active they work with them.
It's sort of like a log book.
Well,
and the captain's log when he's, you know, steering across the sea and saving the whales. That they record things, some things of great interest, some things not, and we've tried to do a particular kind of logging.
So what we don't know what it means quite to be a group. So what we have done is during each of these classes, each of these Wednesday at 7 o'clock, what we do is we notate, hey, there's an element of a group. There's an element called, that's an element of a group. And we employ here in this space, and this is important enough to say, okay?
Oh, definitely.
Is that this particular chamber is an event, and it has elements to the chamber. For instance, one element that we have every single night is a scribe.
Mm-hmm.
The scribe has the position of the objective position that we're referring to is the position that somebody devotes their attention to the process. How do you like that?
Very good.
Huh?
That's very good.
That's nice. So in this case, that particular post means that the scribe devotes their attention to that particular task for the benefit of the group as a whole.
Nice.
Now, one of the things, and we're going to say it because Dan isn't here yet, and I don't know whether he's coming or not.
He is.
He is coming, okay.
He said he'd be here at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say something that occurred. I'm very clear and distinct on what happened and when it occurred, and I'm wondering if you want to speak to it because I think you noticed it too.
We had a maturation occur. I'm using that word very specifically.
Nice.
It is sometimes conscious. It is sometimes default. In this case, I would say it was a mixture of both. But we have the gentleman who takes the post in front of the computer and makes sure that we get the information from the log as people are speaking it. And when we ask questions, he reads back their responses. He's the contributor. He's the voice of that chamber that is in everybody's living room or in their desk, and he brings them here verbally for us to participate with. And we noted last week that there is a particular host, and that's different in a certain way than element. There's a particular post that he holds, and we named it, and as we named it, We had a demonstration of it in front of our very eyes.
So he's been doing the same task for years. He sits at the computer, handles the chat, and so on and so forth. But about 3 or 4 weeks ago, it became a post. He grew into that. It was quite remarkable to watch, actually, for me.
Yeah.
And I noted it for everybody. So any group you're in any event, watch the posts that are there, no matter if the group is a group of two or if it's a larger group. Notate. Let's just say have your consciousness open to such an event, to notation.
Well, it's part of paying attention to what's occurring in the chamber, and we call that the gatekeeper. And as the gatekeeper comes in...
Well, he's not that gatekeeper.
No, he's not that gatekeeper. He is that gatekeeper.
So he allows... And there was somebody else with that specific role.
He allows the flow to continue, contributes to the flow. Now, there's another element that I'm sure David didn't know I was going to bring up, but there are always posts in the chamber, but they are not always filled.
Correct.
And that is something also to be aware of, that there are frequently posts that could be filled. It's especially true in an esoteric school of this nature. There is work to be done. There is a post to be filled. There may not be a qualified candidate all the time able to take the post.
So because our task, in a sense, is to glean from the text what are the elements that might be elements that denote what is a group, what we've done is we've asked our scribe to notate those. We will say them during the session, but then notate them. So we've accumulated now a number of these. And we start the class off by reading those that were notated from the previous week. And I'd like, Pat, able to read those then
right
for us?
Right here, yeah, they're very clear. Wednesday, July 5, 2017, Work of Groups, number 16. 1. Elements of a group. 1. Within a group, there are positions or posts. You gotta sense the post. It's a voluntary role to subject yourself to the necessity of that position. Very well captured.
Nice.
Very well captured. Thank you. That's precise. Number 2, operations of a group. 1, it appears that a group can offer being used so that you are subject to the formula, quote, the increase of necessity is most basic source of force for work, end quote.
Read that again. Please.
It appears that a group can offer, quote, being used, end quote, so that you are subject to the formula, quote, the increase of necessity is most basic source of force for the work, end quote. And that's why last week was only one chapter.
It was pretty thick. I mean, some of this stuff is pretty thick, but it's there, and then... I think that it might not be a good idea to go back to that.
Yeah, no,
spend a lot of time on it, developing it.
We move along.
But it's the idea of subjecting yourself, in a sense, to necessity. and how to allow that to arise in you. It is not a simple thing. And I got really into it last week because, and then I actually, we were talking a lot, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I know there's a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
I know there is. Why can't I attach more to it?
Yeah.
Why can't I be more plugged into that very necessity, which is the source of energy?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting conversation at some point. But all of this is self-reflection in one way or another. It's us finding out more about ourselves, self-observation, and then at some point a little bit of self-realization. Time.
And if we're all so blessed as we are right now, group work.
We're going to spend a little bit of time on chapter 37, which is on page 88 of your text. It's chapter 37 entitled Discovery. Why don't you read the first paragraph there, Ivan? Is that okay?
Yeah.
And that, go ahead.
Discovery. Sly man is able to discover the method because he is able to remain impartial and has no special personal need to choose some ideas and reject others, work into those things he likes and those he does not like. He can swallow the doctrine whole.
This is actually a methodology of discovery. Fascinating, too, because if you actually work with this a little bit, you see that you bring prejudice to any hearing
mm-hmm.
that you do. I do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the sly man attempts to just gather the data in front of them. This is many, many, many years ago, Pat.
Mm.
We were in a particular chamber, and I was asked, a question by EJ, and the way I answered was not da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
And in his impartiality, he said, "Okay, so it's not." Not, which means yes. So without being prejudiced, without trying to attempt to, well, what does he actually mean?
Mm-hmm.
And all of this, it was just a notation of what occurred, period.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that and suspend our judgment of what we're looking at, we can do that, we might be able to discover something new. You know, a lot of it is, and I've brought this up in a number of times, a lot of it is like setting your compass in such a way that you're involved, you're notating the wonder that is always going around us. It's always fresh. The garden is always about to bloom if we but could look at it
mm-hmm.
with clear eyes. And then it's just always a ton of fun. It really is. So, I don't want to spend too much time on 37. There's other things on it, but I think that was just such a crystal idea.
Yes.
Go ahead, Ivan.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that that paragraph helps me a lot to understand the impartiality that he's talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, okay, so that's what impartial is. Yeah, okay, I can get that. It's like a, you know, whatever. I'm not rejecting. I'm not filtering or rejecting, you know, what's presented to me because of my taste, my aesthetic, my past experience, my knowledge.
He is not a scholar. His interest isn't in accumulating knowledge and data. His interest is pragmatic. So when you hear a concept like this, it's not a... So what is it going to be like tomorrow when you go to the donut shop Mm-hmm. You know, can you observe with some objectivity? What does it feel like to observe? Get a sense of your own sense of observation.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, like I have 3 very complex meetings tomorrow, and can I just observe
mm-hmm.
rather than attempt to input? And the answer is, yes, I can. Let's see if I can do it tomorrow. That's right. Because I noticed that I am able to do it. I can sense what it feels like when I'm objectively observing. And sometimes I get thrown off in my practice. Okay? So we're going to just skip ahead a couple of pages. Actually, I'm going to backtrack.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
To 89 at the very bottom of 89, the very bottom. We can see now the method for the sly man. He must find others with necessity for what he has learned. If this is his method, what is the method for his guinea pig? But so to the extent that you can surround yourself, like we have a Spanish teacher here, and the method is to find people that need to learn Spanish, right? If they learn it, can't you feel it coming out of you if someone really needs to learn it? Can you sense the, you're compelled in a sense, like Ivan is a well-loved English teacher, and when he winds up with someone in the class that has to understand Joseph Conrad, something comes out of Ivan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good. That's good luck on that one, David. I would say that there's people. I think that I've actually advanced. I've become quite accomplished. I think that I'm a magnet for people who need help with their books, who need help with editing. You know, with clarifying. Mm-hmm. I've got to express my, you know, journal. I've got to write about my life. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. You know, I've been having these people, you know, I'm just running into them at the grocery store. I mean, I'm meeting them. You know, Nancy's having her law clients. She's referring to the writers group and so on. So that's where I seem to be going.
So Ivan found another niche that as a sly man, he's finding other people that have necessity, which is honing his skills.
Mm-hmm.
He has a tremendous background. And now he's honing his skills going forward. So in our work, we must attempt to find ourselves in such a position, and that does refer back to that last point you had read from last week.
That's right.
So I forgot about that.
It ties in directly.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we're going to skip ahead to page 91, and wow, this is a long chapter. We're not going to get through the whole thing. But I want to figure out a way, how can we work together tonight? Hey, Dan, how many people are there? Anybody online? 11 people online. And there are several people here.
Right. You couldn't quite count, could you? I know how that goes.
And now there are
Can't do it.
Now there are more.
So, can I say something about this title?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the title of this chapter, number 38, is Fragments of Methods. Now, lots of people have ideas about what fragments might mean. And like it was describing in the previous chapter where it uses the title Discovery, so you already get into this kind of internal attitude of wonder. And this fragments of method, I think if you could suspend your idea about what it might be about, you'll be more likely to be successful at hearing what's presented. Because for me, for the longest time, when I heard the word fragment, I already was caught up in something that technically
nice.
Had nothing to do with what this is about. You know, it was an associative mind thing from a childhood event, and I couldn't move past that. So I'm just recommending that, you know, when we launch into a chapter, we could actually use the
that
technique
method.
From the chapter on discovery, which
of
is
objectivity.
Suspend your already in place considerations and go in with a sense of wonder. What is this? You know?
Well, and so as we go forward into this, we're going to employ a method called slow reading.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go very slowly because everybody, not a matter of us reading, giving data, it's a matter of us understanding together
mm-hmm.
as well as we can. It's okay to go super slow. At time, attempt to notate in yourself, when do you bring forth a prejudice? Now, I don't mean that in the political sense,
right.
but I mean a slant where you're previewing, oh, yeah, I already understand that. Next, that's what I mean. Attempt, can you see, what does it feel like when that arises in you, Pat?
Yes.
And you can actually get a physical sensation when the human biological machine is activated to accomplish that mechanicality. Okay? So observe yourself. That's more important than the data. Okay?
And the method that you're prescribing,
sure.
the slow reading,
yeah.
are you suggesting it's a word at a time around
no.
the room? No.
No, no, no.
Not
no,
that
no.
not
no.
that.
What
slow.
I mean by slow reading is we're gonna read the first paragraph. I'm gonna ask you to do that, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're gonna go, well, what did it mean?
Okay.
And I don't understand that word, or why would he use that, or
okay.
da 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 da.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but that's a technique used by some groups in terms of we're all going to go together, and we're encouraging everybody online. If you have a question, stop us. It's a perfect example. This chapter is so thick that it's worth it to spend a little bit of time. So. Does that make sense to everybody? Dan, do we have anything over there? You okay?
David, I have a question.
Harry, yes, you do.
The very first sentence, the two separate clauses, I find incredibly intriguing, and I would like, after Pat reads that, to discuss what that means.
Sure. Harry?
I've been chewing on it for a while.
Harry, would you do us a favor of reading the first paragraph, please?
I would be happy to.
Can you hear him? Kind of. You can hear him, Marvette? Fine. To hear.
Is that better?
Go,
yes.
Do it again.
We cannot trust the mind
yes. to
remember our aim. Only the organism can transfer habits to finer bodies. For this, one must make new habits in the organic, and one must also, without fail, have higher, finer bodies to which new habits, along with the self of new format, the soul, can be transferred. Well,
lovely. Thank you, Harry.
Thank you, Harry.
It was great to hear you read. I have to go back to my standing example, which is from the era of Meta Vista, when we lived as a community in the same building with shared meals and shared childcare and shared teaching chambers with EJ and movements and bingo, and you know, that was our life. We didn't have a life outside of that building. That was the life. And there were some there were offerings all the time, but I wasn't paying attention to them. But there were offerings all the time of ways to proceed individually with what the group force was doing. And it didn't dawn on me until just hearing this stated again that this clue that I was given fits exactly into that, so I'll tell you what it is. I did not have pierced ears at the time. I had three small children. I was going to be leaving the community and living away from the community in Canada for health reasons for my children, and I would not have any other Institute folks around me for a period of time, and that to be 3 years. And the suggestion was made that I get my ears pierced and I get a piece of jewelry, this is before JAL, that I get a piece of jewelry that I would use when I touch my ear as my reminding factor of where that had come from and what my aim was. So this is not something that I ever did, was relate to my ear or pull on my ear. It was not a habit that I had. It was a new habit created specifically for the purpose of using a reminding factor that would fit in with the culture and not stand out, but would relate me with the rest of the group that was still down here. And I've never remembered it in this way until hearing this tonight, but that's exactly what happened for me.
That's a great example, Pat, because that is clearly organic.
Yes.
You know, that is an organic habit. Because
yes.
It's like having to do with the mannerism. Okay, now I'm gonna actually feel that earring and feel the pull in my ear a little bit, and this is gonna be a reminding factor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was the only reason to do it. It wasn't for dressing up, it was
so
for that reason.
Harry.
Does that help, Harry?
Let's see if you can unpack a little bit of what Pat was saying and relate it to that first couple of clauses.
Well, the thing that threw me was the fact that the mind cannot remember our aim. So it has to be an organic machine habit that we intentionally install, like reading, like saying a mantra with a mala bead and using a certain one that you got from a certain person because it reminds you of a certain thing, and you have a new habit, in addition to showing up for this group, for example. So I have several little emplacements of habits, and so they're starting to crop up in the environment so that even though I lose it from time to time, I know that I'm going to run into another one pretty soon, and I'll get it back.
But it was my mind that remembered to get me here tonight. I knew I've got it marked down on my calendar, and I...
You call that your mind, your calendar? I love it. You
wrote it down.
Yeah, with your physical hand.
My hand. And so my mind is what got me here, right?
No.
People, why aren't they agreeing with me, Harry?
Well, I don't think that's the way it works. I mean, apparently you're addicted to coming to this group, and you're going to show up from hell or high water. And
tell me about that addiction.
Let him
go for a minute. Tell me about that addiction, Harry.
Well, an addiction is something that you can't control.
You're compelled. Right.
You have what Barney Fife called a compulsion.
A compulsion, yes.
A compulsion.
Yes.
You have a compulsion to do this.
Yeah.
Where does that come from, though, Ivan?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I think it's organic. I think I have all kinds of ideas of other things I could be doing on Wednesday evening instead of this, and my mind would easily lead me to those other things. So I think it's somewhat of an organic habit. I mean, I actually find myself coming here, whether my mind is in line or not.
I've missed this class a few times. Okay, over the last 10 years.
I don't agree with that statement. You did not miss it.
Three or four times.
You were not, as far as you could tell, physically present here.
Look, I went off the road in the snow once, okay?
I couldn't make that was your experience of it, okay? For us.
That's organic.
It was organic. Too much organic. So what is this addiction thing? I'm not going to settle with the word addiction.
Yeah.
But
it has negative connotation, but there are positive addictions. Meditation is a positive addiction.
Yeah. But keep...
Say it again.
Positive. You say there's positive addictions.
It releases endorphins and enkephalins, and it makes you feel better. You get addicted to it.
I didn't hear what you said.
I'm struggling with the word addiction. It seems overstated and dramatic.
Okay. It is like...
Well, what's the difference between a habit and an addiction?
Oh, there you go. That's what I was
doing. Wait. You have it in your hand.
Yeah, I know.
Dave.
The green button.
No, no, no.
The word addiction, I think, is throwing the conversation into like a waters that aren't really...
Have nothing
to do with this. I don't think coming to a class is an addiction.
Give me a better word then.
Alcoholism. No.
Alcoholism.
Yeah.
But what if you called an addiction a well-established habit?
I don't know what the word would be.
Go ahead again, Harry.
No. Turn it off.
Oh, well, wow. I seem to have knocked the hornet's nest right out of the tree.
No, say again what you said. We didn't hear you because we had the speaker on over here on somebody else. So let us hear you.
Well, I think that one way of viewing kinds of habits are addictions are just well-established habits. They're ones that give us feedback that what we're doing is of value to us, even if we're asleep at the wheel.
Well, let me ask you a question then, Harry. Let's take Yo-Yo Ma as an example.
Okay.
I've told the story about Pablo Casals and how he played the cello. And he was, at the time of this interview, he was the best cellist maybe in the world. And the interviewer said to him, well, what do you do during that? He says, well, I get up and I practice 4 hours a day. And the interviewer says, you're the best there is. And the guy goes, he nods his head in public and says, yeah, I'm making some progress. What brought Pablo Casals, or I... Pablo?
No.
No.
No, he was Cuban.
No, he's Spanish.
Cello. David's American, but that's irrelevant.
So, my point is, I saw Yo-Yo Ma when he was in his 20s, and he still plays an instrument, and he's still intrigued by it. What keeps bringing him back? What is that? We all have it. All we're doing together in a group like this and studying the guides that EJ gives us is we're just paying attention. And once you pay attention to something, I guarantee you, it'll come alive. You put your attention on it, and it starts to have formulation. It becomes a thing in itself. Okay? So... why do I keep coming to this class on Wednesday night? It's in the first sentence. Go ahead. Marvette needs the phone, please.
I wasn't going to say the first sentence because I don't remember it.
That's okay. I'm not.
But in Science Fiction Radio Theater, we have a crew that keeps coming back.
Yeah.
And for 2 years, I talked about in different ways giving EJ's excerpts from all sorts of different forms that he was published, his teachings were published. But basically, it's about bringing it to life because your attention brings something to life. And you form a group and you put the group attention on it, it becomes a bigger space.
Even a bigger space. I am, I'm going to use the word, after my life, when I look back on it, seems to have been compelled to follow the spiritual path. It was something that I was almost born with. It seems like I can remember very young moving in that direction. And then it's gained momentum. It's gained, because I pay attention to it, it's gained momentum. It's like my being compels me. It's fundamental to it. As Spinoza would say, living in accordance with one's own nature. My nature has become like that, I guess. Okay?
Well, I would like to go to the second half of the first sentence, which says,
yes.
Only the organism can transfer habits to finer bodies. So there's three concepts there for me.
Good.
The organism, the HBM, is the given. It's the default. It's what is already existent with its conditions and its history and all that stuff. That's a given. But it has the potential, says can transfer. It has the potential to be the medium through which the higher body, the finer body, the essential self, whatever language terminology we're going to use here, I don't care. It is the manner in which the transfer occurs because there is an HBM available as the basis, period. It's the basis. It can't be done without that. So only the organism can transfer habits. And where it says it transfers habits, this is the weird part. This is the part I was saying was so strange because I didn't have that habit.
Right.
I did not wear earrings. I didn't have pierced ears. I didn't wear jewelry in particular at all. I mean, for my wedding, I had to find a ring, you know, because I didn't wear them. So it has something else here about making a creation of something that is deliberate, conscious, or intentional, and that it goes into that other form. And now the mystery of how it goes into the other form, I don't think that's what this is about. I think what it's saying is, the next sentence says, for this one must make new habits in the organic, and one must also, without fail, have higher, finer bodies to which new habits, along with the self of new format, the soul can be transferred. So it gives to me, the formula says, essential self and or HBM both must be present. They have to both be active. Or we use that other word, awake. In order for there to be this transfer from one to the other. And I think what's interesting about where our language goes when we talk about a habit is because it's hard to talk about something that is made from the organic and understand that it is held in the finer, higher body. That's just, to me, that's the basis of the mystery. And I keep, that's where I focus when I do this.
Do you believe, I mean it in kind of a mundane sense, do you believe that you have a finer body?
Totally, without question.
Ivan?
It's a tough question. I was just going to, yeah, I believe I have a finer body, an ethereal, a non-material body. I'm not sure that I've been voluntarizing, doing something voluntary with it.
He doesn't care what you've done with it.
I just wanted to say before we pass it that I think that Pat nailed difference between addiction and the habits we're talking about. Because I think the habit with a capital H, you know, in this context, I'm not talking about like the habit of smoking cigarettes or the habit of wanting ice cream after dinner or something. I'm talking about habits that are voluntary, that are, and she said intentional, I believe. And, you know, repeating a behavior, you know, like coming to this meeting every Wednesday night for 10 years, you know, I think the difference between this and an addiction is that it has a goal, it has an aim in relation to something transcendent.
Yeah.
Something other than what the organic. You know, it's organic.
You know,
coming here is organic,
but I think it's
a voluntary habit, it's an intentional attendance of coming here.
Thank you.
And I think we still get addicted to it.
Yes.
Right now, if you were to come here for 20 years to this meeting on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, and then you were not able to come one week, your blood pressure would go up, and you'd have all kinds of adverse responses.
Yes.
Yes. I agree with you.
Go ahead.
Brisa says, "I come to this class because I feel the need to. I am working in a community, so learning and experiencing work of groups seems just like a basic requisite for me."
So there is an element, this concept of need, and I think that it's worth it for us to understand, what is the need? I couldn't imagine not having this need in me for this circle of friends and this, the vitality of this kind of gathering. That's just fundamental to who I am.
So you're saying that you couldn't imagine yourself having a life that did not... you're saying that you couldn't imagine having a life that would not include a spiritual element.
Right.
That would not be you.
Correct.
Okay.
It's fundamental. But there's this idea of the transference, too. Once we get conscious that that's what we're doing, it's like you're putting a penny in that bank. You're consciously putting a penny in the bank of the finer body, the higher self, the essential self. And allow yourself to say, hey, I'm doing that now. I am doing it. That's what my intention was. Hey, Silverdale?
Yeah.
Now, do you have any particular practice during the day?
Absolutely and certainly. You know, I devote hours each day to the pursuit of just what this chapter is talking about. And what I've basically learned for myself is this, and again, I'm just borrowing from EJ's terminology here. As Ivan just said, yes, we all have an ethereal body. The problem is that it's diffused throughout the whole of our body, so we're generally not perceptually cognizant of it. EJ says that diffused ethereal body, our essential self, can be stimulated and awakened and gradually form itself into an independent part of our totality of our experience. Then we enter into this particular chapter that says, in order for that to happen, first of all, and now allow me a moment to digress to make a statement. While our subjective mind, our personality, has a great deal of interest in the awakening of the essential self and all the potential fruit and benefits it might produce, our organic body has no interest in awakening at all. And furthermore, our essential self is in an even worse state. It has no interest in waking up either. And so for this reason, first of all, we become introduced to these ideas, the possibility of awakening the essential self, and that produces objective necessity. Our objective necessity is to awaken our essential self, as opposed to a subjective necessity. This is two chapters ago, in which our subjective necessity is to have a job and pay for rent, whatever. Well, once we have our objective necessity, then we become we discover the method. The method is, how do we awaken the essential self within the organic human biological machine? And the answer becomes simply, well, I'm going to look for a vibratory sensation that alerts me that it's there. That is, we're going to take our essential self from a state of diffusion into a perceptual sense of awakening. In order to sustain that over time, we have to enlist the help of our organic body, so our organic body becomes familiar with that sensation and begins to feed it, allowing the essential self to gradually grow, and we find the center of our gravity shifts from our outer world into this inner world of the essential self. Of course, this happens over years and years and years of effort. So, but anyway, that's my experience.
Yeah, part of what happens, if you give it more weight, it has more weight. And then the balance between the sleeping machine and the essential self starts to change, and the essential self begins to have standing. And I mean it from a legal point of view.
Yeah.
It has standing in your existence at that point.
I like this formulation. You got something else here?
Yeah.
Ivan, I just wanted to remind all of us of the Voyager's quatrain, right? All phenomena are illusion. Once our essential self is awakened, then we begin to see the world through the eyes of our essential self. And then what the essential self sees is all phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled, making no sudden moves. My habits, that is, the habits of standing in my essential self as the center of the gravity of the totality of my experience, my habits will carry me through. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you, Ivan. Go ahead.
1 second. Dan, can you read Brisa's comment again, please?
I come to this class because I feel the need to. I am working in a community, so learning and experiencing work of groups seems just like a basic requisite for me.
So this is what I mean by need to. What is that? Because the essential self needs to come to the work environment in order to do that. And that's what we're doing together.
Yeah, I may experience, in this group, I may experience myself, or I may have more of the experience of myself as the essential self. I wanted to suggest to Silverdale that, again, I might need to go back and do 100 years of reading or something like that, but I believe that the formulation you want is that, you know, that the essential self is neither awake nor asleep. So we're talking about becoming, you know, merging with my essential self, or identifying or contacting it. You know, I understand EJ to have been teaching and writing for decades about awakening the awakened state of the biological machine.
Yeah.
So that it activates, it contacts, or it then becomes secondary to the essential self. But isn't that true? Isn't that the formulation, Silverdale, that the essential self is neither awake nor asleep?
Yeah, actually, much better. You know, when you're tweeting, you've only got 140 characters. But anyway, you stated it much better. That's right. Our essential self is neither awake nor asleep. It simply is. It exists in that one eternal moment of creation. And what we're trying to really do is awaken our body, actually, our organic self, through this sensation that formulates this body of resurrection that's referred to, you know, a higher being body that is capable of merging, I guess, with the essential self.
Or another one, Silverdale, how about the analogy, I guess you could call it the parable, of the redfin, the fish in the tank? It's like the walls of the tank become transparent, and then the redfin, you know, the captured individual in the fish tank has the vision, sees the higher dimension.
Well, that's right. Once the essential self once the essential self is able to independently self-initiate, then it's able to see through the glass of the aquarium into other dimensions because it's just a natural byproduct of that state of experience.
I want to respond to what Risa was saying.
Yeah.
Again, by reading the first phrase of the first sentence, we cannot trust the mind to remember our aim.
Yeah.
And if we don't have trust in the mind to remember the aim, and we have an aim of the essential self, then what's required is to put oneself in the position of necessity. And that's exactly what she said. She said she feels that she needs to be here.
She's compelled. Pat, why don't you read the first paragraph again, and let's see where we stand on it.
Chapter 38, Fragment of Method. We cannot trust the mind to remember our aim. Only the organism can transfer habits to finer bodies. For this, one must make new habits in the organic, and one must also, without fail, have higher, finer bodies, to which new habits, along with the self of new format, the soul, can be transferred. Yeah, right. Now did you get yourself blown now?
Did that say self of new format?
It did.
Come on.
It did.
Whoa.
It said that. Yeah. That's what I meant when I said be careful when you make an assumption about what the title means. Do you want to know where we're at, David, or do you just want us to just sit here and sit in it?
Were you going to tell us where we're at then?
No way.
Okay.
I was going to ask Dan if there is any questions from the people who are sitting in that log there.
Well, Grocki just made a statement, a quote, "I take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma,
yeah,
and the Sangha."
Thank you, Grocki. Good to remember. And Silverdale, I do have one, Silverdale, I have one pondering for you. When this description, this paragraph, says, and one must also, without fail, have higher, finer bodies, plural, what do you take that to mean?
Well, you know, this is Seven Bodies of Man, you know, EJ's book, Seven Bodies of Man, and really it grows out of my understanding of what group work is all about. It's our ability to develop a higher emotional body, a body of higher feeling, body of higher thought, body really, well, those are the two that I'm probably most familiar with. But anyway, we have, you know, we are a creation all by ourselves. So we have all these possibilities and combinations within ourselves, and in our personal work on self, what we try to do is crystallize higher and higher gradations of a body with different types of reason and different types of functionality. So, starting off at the bottom of the octave, we just try to climb the octave as high as we can.
We do, and we can do that by showing up. Sometimes just by showing up, that's what you can do. And then you get used to being in that higher space. So, as I said before, we're a slow reading group. We're remedial. We got through one paragraph. So I'm just going to read the second paragraph so we can ponder it for next week. And that paragraph starts out as follows. Body of resurrection must be made. Consciousness alone is not sufficient. One must have, in addition to new consciousness, a vehicle for a new world. So, thanks for coming this evening. And we'll look forward.
Outstanding.
Okay. We do have another comment.
Go ahead, Dan.
From Bernie LaPont.
Hey, Bernie.
Addiction. A man went for years every Monday to give a serenade to his girlfriend. He was asked, "Why don't you marry her?" He replied, "What? And what would I do on my Monday night?"
So take a look at this. Take a look at the next paragraph. Read ahead a little bit and immerse yourself in really what is a different language formulation that EJ's using. And then we'll take it up again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Mm. Thanks so much for coming. Good
thank
night.
You, everyone.
Thanks
for
being hosting. That's you.
Thank you both, Harry.
Yeah.
George, thank you so much.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Good night.